morning, everyone. Cassett County Council Board and Commission Subcommittee.
Shut that door, please.
Tuesday, December 3rd, 2013, 11 a.m., 84 Conference Road. Call this meeting to order.
He's sitting in the gallery, community gallery.
We don't have seven, so I believe the rule is to adjourn this meeting and go into an informal discussion.
Actually, we're a subcommittee. We can do anything we want. I mean.
I think we, can you vote or not vote?
No, cannot vote on minutes.
You can.
No quorum.
It's not an issue of a quorum, the subcommittee.
Yes. Subcommittee can always discuss issues and vote to send it to the whole body of the council, but they can't vote to enact anything.
Right.
Yeah.
So what are we saying?
So say whatever you want.
Have the meeting take the minutes.
I mean, I would just go ahead and take the minutes, but if, you can ask if there are any corrections on the minutes.
Sure.
I mean, you just want to know.
Let's take a peek at the minutes.
Yeah, if the record is accurate.
Because the last time we met was several months ago. Let's take a peek at the minutes, make sure we're square on the minutes.
That's okay. He's got some minutes.
Everyone have a copy of the minutes?
Do you need them?
John, do you have a copy of the minutes?
I think we're good on them.
We're good?
Yep.
Take a moment. Morning, Mr. Guy.
Good morning, Madam Reverend.
I might have seven. There's seven.
Wow, so lucky that.
I guess I have a file.
Yes. Counselor.
All right, Bob.
Yep.
Morning, Counselor.
Good morning.
So we do have seven. We have called the meeting to order, and we want to approve the minutes, give Councilmember Hollins and minor moment to look at the minutes from June 25th.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Minutes have been approved and accepted as documented. Agenda item number three, now have review of boards and commission vacancies and candidate resumes. Should have those in your packet if you do not have those resumes and vacancies. Anthony has extra copies. I want to thank Anthony for providing this very important information to us.
So this is just ours?
Always has.
Yeah.
Councilmember Cartier.
Yes, Mr. President, thank you. Regarding the pension board vacancy, I have been working for the last few months to locate candidates to fill the pension board who are subject matter experts. I have two candidates, I believe, that are qualify for that appointment. I'm going to circle back with them, get their resumes, and assess their willingness to serve, which I think is quite serious. And they are both affiliated with the Wilmington Trust Department. I think their primary focus and expertise is financial management of assets and pensions. And I think they would provide objective advice and expertise to the pension board. So I want to just put that on the table. I will be working to get that forwarded to your office for consideration.
Thank you. When do you think you have that?
I'll have it to you this week.
Okay, great. Councilmember Wyman.
Right. I,
I did have a discussion with John as well. I also have a nominee for pension board. He used to run the DuPont Pension Department. And I think they're equally qualified, but we ought to have an array to pick. But one of the aspects of the description of the pension board slots are, originally there were only 7 union folks and 2 experts. When Tom Croft was, and the other gentleman from DuPont Pension that were running the pension department, this is back in the 90s, Tom Croft and the other pension board expert, both from DuPont, came off when Dace Blaskowitz went on over my objection. Didn't think he had the expertise, but he stayed on, and there were some standards that were violated during that time, which hurt us all, because we're all pension holders. Because when you have an investment pyramid, you have to make sure your risk factors are followed. You have to make sure that there are no commissions being paid. And most of your major boards don't do that. They don't pay commissions. But after Foster Freeze left the company, the new manager started a policy where he did go with commissions. It's not a good practice. Now, whether or not that violates any rules or not, I don't know. But that's one thing that's being investigated separately. The two people that have been put on the pension board, they're very nice people, but neither one of them has subject matter expertise, in my opinion. And of course, I put forward a proposal that we add 2 slots to the pension board, so we get subject matter expertise. And the pension board hasn't yet voted on that. I volunteered to allow my proposal to go to them, even though it didn't need to. Mr. Finnegan made his first comment ever, not dealing with pension, but he made a public comment at the meeting saying, union members, you don't want to dilute your votes. That really, to me, was an inappropriate remark for him to make, because it was more of a political remark rather than a pension remark. The HR nominee really should be on HR, but he's there. Neither one of them have made any substantive comments concerning aspect of pensions. So it is what it is, which is, I think, why the pension board, which protects all of us, would be better off to have 2 extra subject matter experts. And at some point, the pension commission, pension board, will consider those 2 extra slots and come up with a recommendation. That hasn't happened yet. I'm hopeful that they'll give it a positive recommendation, at which point we'll have 2 extra slots to consider. But the slot that is there now, that's open, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there's just 1 slot right now that's open. If you read it technically, it says that there has to be someone who's currently in the field. Now, to me, that sort of shoots us in the foot, because we can't then take advantage of someone like the retired head of the DuPont Pension Board, because he isn't currently in the field, if you read it accurately. And I've checked this with the law department as well. So, I think we should be able to get current and past members of with real pension management experience. The other concern I have is with banks generally. We have to be careful with banks. And I discussed this with John before, because banks in this small community do have management ties with our pension. It's such a small town that a lot of times the banks get involved and they have financial interests in pension investments. It's just the nature of the beast when you live in a small community such as ours. There aren't that many banks. It's just a red flag that we need to be aware of, which is why in the past, before we got involved in all this, there were DuPont and the other companies tended to be more of the pension experts than the banks. And just going back in the history of all this, we started off with 9 union members and 3 experts. Since that time, over the decades, the number of union members has about doubled. So even if you added 2 more experts, there's no danger of having the union folks outnumbered. But more importantly, it shouldn't be about union members controlling the pension. It should really be about having a diversity of expertise. And if you have a majority of fellows, ladies who are union members, that's all well and good, but that's not their expertise. And they've been led to make some decisions which have not been in the best interests of county employees present and future. If we ever had another financial crash like we've experienced over the last 6 years, our pension could not survive. There have been some adjustments which have been made. Lynn Beatty, who wasn't a financial expert, made some recommendations. You heard her come in here and sit over there and say the 2 recent appointees to the pension board haven't said a word, haven't added anything. And she gratuitously made that remark. I think, you know, we should all pay attention to that because they're supposed to be the ones leading all the other non-expert members. David Grimaldi did explain to the pension board how some of the investments which were made didn't fall within the guidelines. And we need to turn that around. Now, I'm trying to make these remarks without appearing to be critical of appointments that we made in the past. And I just didn't know how else to do it except just to say it that way, because this is much bigger than any of us or any appointments. This is our future pension's health. So if in anything that I've said that appears to be critical of anyone here, I apologize. That wasn't my intent in the remarks that I made.
Thank you, Councilmember Robinson.
Chair.
Yes,
Councilmember. As an outside member of the subcommittee, I just want to say, I've attended a lot of the pension board meetings. I did not attend the ones where Mr. Grimaldi proceeded to alienate and drive some of the pension board members.
Well, that's a subjective determination.
Okay. So I don't know. I do know, as of this date, none of his accusations have been founded. No charges.
That's subjective on your part, too.
Yeah. Well, if there's been charges, I think the council should know about it.
If they're being investigated, you wouldn't know about it.
I said charges. I did not say investigated.
If there's charges, you wouldn't know about it.
That's not what I said. But to clarify on your legislation, because I was at the meeting where they discussed it, I don't know if they got with you or not, because part of what they decided on that legislation was that they were going to outreach to you and give you the opportunity and invite you to come to one of the pension meetings to discuss it. So I don't know where they got you. But
they haven't gotten to me.
That was the last I heard when they didn't act on it, was they were going to do an outreach to you and ask you if you would consider coming to their next meeting and discuss it. So I don't know why they did.
That hasn't happened.
So, well, I just can let you with that. I mean, I don't know if you sounded like you would listen to recordings of the meetings, but that's where they had left it the last time I was at the pension meeting. So I just share that with you, whether you want to reach back to them and find out what they're doing with it or not.
Right. Mr. President.
Thank you, Councilman. Yes, Councilman.
Thanks. Just to set the record straight, if there were an investigation through a number of federal and state agencies, we wouldn't know about them. If they're investigating charges, we wouldn't know about them, nor should we. And I didn't in any way say charges had been brought. I simply was stating what was said on the record at the time, and I listened to the tapes.
Thank you. Councilmember Cartier.
Yeah. All these comments are, you know, serious, and I take them as offered in a serious way. I think that one thing I will tell you in my search for candidates, it's not an easy thing to fill. This is a really difficult, sort of appointment to make. We want to find competent, objective people who are really not in politics at all. And I worked over the last 3 months to achieve that, and I want to forward those resumes once I get the go-ahead from the candidates that they'd be willing to serve. So the issue of the ethics of it all, that's a very complicated question too. So I just want to put that out there that, you know, these are important. This is a very important appointment And I think, you know, expanding the amount of experts there is has some merit to it, but, you know, filling it, that's a whole nother ball of wax.
Thank you for your comment. Councilmember Weiner.
Thank you. And John, if I said anything that did appear that they weren't qualified, I apologize. I didn't intend to do that, including the fact that they're in the banking industry.
Right.
So I'm just making some general things for the benefit of all of us.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen, for the heavy discussion. Councilmember, do you have any other comments around vacancies, candidate resumes, so forth? Councilmember Holly, do you have anything on that, sir?
No, thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. We do have before you the letter from the Ethics Commission. Did everybody get a chance? I think you need to spend, Co-Chair Diller, I think you need to spend a little time. If you haven't, then please take a moment.
Councilmember Weiner. Yes, would it be appropriate for me to ask a question about dealing with the process?
Yes, but in a minute, please.
Okay.
We let folks kind of peruse this letter.
Okay.
And then ask my aide, Anthony, if you would give a brief overview of what this letter. Councilman Smiley, do you have a letter?
Yep.
Councilman Holler, do you have a letter?
Yes, I do.
Okay, everybody has a letter. Anthony, please.
Okay, so we got this letter from the Ethics Commission on November 12th, and it basically says that we made an appointment to the Ethics Commission. The intent was that it was to be a council appointment, Councilwoman Kilpatrick's appointment, but whoever did the resolution put that it was a county executive's appointment. So we had in our records that it was a council appointment, but we have to go by what the resolution said. So right now it is an executive appointment that we sort of took from that. You can either keep it the way it is, or after speaking with Carol, she said we can do a corrective resolution, making him ours again, and giving the executive's office back their appointment. But right now it's technically their appointment and we have a vacancy. If you fix it, or if you correct it, we won't have a vacancy. It'll go back to the executive's office.
Councilmember Diller, then Councilmember Weiner, then we'll hear from the administration, Attorney Guy.
I think it's, you know, just doing a corrective resolution is the fair way to handle this thing. I mean, you know, this was our appointment. We voted on it. The resolution, you know, may have been incorrect, but let's just correct the mistake and move on. That would be my recommendation.
Thank you, Council Co-Chair. Councilmember Weiner, Attorney Guy, then Councilmember Cardi.
Thanks. I just want to set it forth in the record that we're talking about the Ethics Commission.
Yes. Yes.
Correct.
Just addressing the record.
Yes. Correct.
Thank you.
Attorney Guy, from the administration.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Samuel Guy, Executive Office. I just wanted to get clarity. There was a conversation that just took place, and what's the name of the appointee that was being discussed?
Christopher Simon.
Chris Simon.
Christopher Simon. Okay. What happened here? I reviewed every one of the documents, appointment documents, going back several years, and that came about there was a general consensus among everybody, as far as I understood it. I had received some communications from council. There were some records, and everybody was of the belief that the executive had two appointments to make to the Ethics Commission, and that county council had one appointment to make. And that didn't match up with some prior research I had done on these commit boards and commissions. So when I reviewed it, my assessment was that there was some mistakes somewhere, and that in reality, county council should fill two slots and the executive should fill one, because there's a 4-3 rule in the code regarding the Ethics Commission. And so I brought that to the attention of the attorney for the Ethics Commission. So when she vaguely references some research that was done, that's part of what she's talking about. And so when we discussed that, I said to her, you know, what made the most sense to me was let's target the 4-3. Let's get back aligned in compliance with the 4-3 requirement in the code. Does everybody know what I'm speaking of with 4-3? Okay. And so it seemed to me the easiest way to do that. Oh, by the way, we could have processed two because everybody agreed that we were supposed to do two of them. We didn't choose to go that route because we didn't believe that was the appropriate thing to do. The appropriate thing was to raise the issue and get it clarified. So moving forward, we're of the belief that the vacant slot, which is the Collins slot, that was an executive appointment, Collins. It is actually vacant at this time. And so I explained to the Ethics Commission attorney that we would fill just that one slot and to let council know that instead of them having one, that they have two, and they would fill the other two slots. Because clearly the Gonzalez slot was a council slot, I believe. Does that comport with everybody else's understanding? The Gonzalez slot was a council slot?
Correct.
So that's your call, whether you wanted to keep Gonzalez or put somebody else there. That's the call of council. The Collins slot was an executive slot, and so all along everybody understood. We even received a letter a long time ago. I think you all even received some letters about filling vacancies. So the issue here is the Turkel slot. And that's the one that we believe you all should fill, even though the records say executive with council consent, that should be your slot, and that would get us back in balance. And Turkel is in his second term, so he can't be reappointed. So it's really a vacancy. He's just a holdover based on the 6-month provision. And so that was the solution that we recommended. And if we went with that course of business, then everything would be the way that it's supposed to be. Now, as far as what the Ethics Commission attorney said, the truth of the matter, as we see it, the county council and the county exec are the authorities with the appointment power and the consent power. And so, even though her letter somewhat suggests something other than that, I think the spirit of it is essentially the same. So I don't know how we're going to resolve that, but that was what our expectation was when we spoke to her, that we'd take that course of business. We'd fill the vacancy, you fill the other two slots, and everything's 4-3. And she has the headache of dealing with whether or not a few years ago there was an illegally constituted ethics commission. That's her headache. It's not really our headache. If some vote went 4-3 or something like that, that some time passed, it's probably not going to matter at this point in time. But I just wanted to share that with you. So either we probably need to reach an agreement as to how we're going to proceed, or maybe we have to have some further discussions on it. But that's our recommendation.
Thank you, Attorney Guy. Councilman McCartier, Councilman Smiley, and Councilman Weiner.
Pass.
Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, if I may interject, I think we're making much ado about nothing. Council's listing has always showed Mr. Simon as a council appointment with executive consent. what was, there may have been a typo or a miswording in the document when we voted, but council records have always shown that. For me, for council, I think our clear path forward will be to do an adjustment piece of legislation, because it clearly was a council appointment. What the document said was one thing, but what we voted, when we voted knowing it was a council appointment brought forward by a council member. So I think the adjustment piece of legislation makes that clean, that corrects that. He went in April 2011. I don't remember any big publicized decisions come out of the Ethics Commission on a 4-3 that would be an issue for them anyway. And then that makes it clean. The county executive has the one clear vacancy and then the one from Mr. Turkle. He does two appointments. It's at the 4-3. The county executive's office currently has Paula Jenkins Massey, who we did October 23rd of 2012. So it's 4-12. It just corrects the typo, misprint, whatever you want to call it, on the document, and we're where we need to be. Essentially, to take now, and for us to take another appointment, would actually, maybe not on paper, but in actuality would give us a 5-2 appointment. So I think what you said here earlier, I think council, again, we do it as a majority, as a full committee, but I think correcting the document or whatever, I think that's the way we go. That way we're clear who the appointees were, who they were from, and the county executive has two appointments to fill. Simple as that. That's my opinion.
Thank you, council member. Councilmember Weiner.
Yes, as I see it, we have the opportunity to make two appointments. I've nominated Carl Schnee for one of the two slots. The other one is Mr. Gonzalez, which would be a reappointment. He's a Republican. He's required to be a Republican. The other slot can be either independent Republican or Democrat. Carl Schnee happens to be a Democrat. He's eminently qualified to fill this position. And I like the interpretation from the Ethics Commission, which permits council to simply ratify the legal interpretation which she's given us. At the same time, in the worst case scenario, this is a mutual mistake of fact, and therefore no foul, no error, and we can proceed in accordance with the letter from the Ethics Commission attorney. But I do want to comment that we should give credit to Sam Guy, because Sam found this mutual mistake of fact and brought it to the attention of our Ethics Commission attorney, and we owe him a debt of gratitude for having done that. He served county government well for having done that.
Thank you, Councilmember Weiner. Councilmember Cartier.
Are you in favor of correcting our legislation that appointed or not misappointed, but attributed the appointment to the wrong branch?
I'm in favor of Rose Killian's proposal. Whether or not corrective legislation would be needed by her interpretation, I'd like to get the opinion of our council to council. But my reading of her letter indicates that we can reappoint Gonzalez and appoint Mr. Schnee.
Councilman Weiner, trying to make sure I'm on the same page. If we adjusted our legislation, then council would have no appointments other than a reappointment of Mr. Gonzalez. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
But that doesn't prohibit, I know different council members have interacted with executives in the past, but that doesn't prohibit the county executive from taking your suggesting moving Mr. Schnee forward as an appointment of one of his two vacancies. Would that really matter? I don't know if that discussion has been.
Well,
I understand what you're. Yeah. I'm just making sure I understand.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is if we don't adjust that, leave that as an executive appointment, we then have a clear vacancy and a reappointment. And your proposal is that Mr. Schnee would be in the clear vacancy.
Yes, I'm
from
adopting
council instead of the executive.
Yeah, I'm adopting the interpretation by the Ethics Commission attorney. If council wants to go the other way, then I suggest Mr. Gonzalez has served us well as a Republican appointment. It was a Paul Clark name that got sponsored through Paul asked Street, Councilman Street, to sponsor it for him, and that's how the Gonzalez name came to us.
Making sure I understood what.
Right. So if we are going to go that way, then I would suggest that it's time to have a Carl Schnee serve instead of Gonzalez. Alternatively, if we go with the interpretation of Rose Killian, then I suggest that the path is already clear and we can reappoint Gonzalez and go with Carl Schnee.
Mr. Guy, did you have your hand up?
Yes.
Yes.
There's certain things that are within the province of council exclusively, and so any changes or amendments that don't have any impact on the executive appointments, we don't have any position on what corrective action, as long as it has no impact. So at the end of the day, I guess when I go back to the office, the one thing that I need to make sure that is clear, if it is clear, is that the executive has one appointment.
At least.
And which appointment it is. So when we have these conversations, I think it's really important. If you guys are saying that council, that the county exec has two appointments, which two do you want the executive to proceed with? Even though we're of the belief that we should only have one and you should have the other two. So is there one that's clear cut that you all agree belongs to the executive?
So assuming we make the corrections that were suggested, you will have the Turkel appointment empty and the spot that used to belong to Tom Collins. You would have those two, assuming we make the correction.
Okay. In the absence of you making the correction,
then you will still have Turkel and we will have Tom Collins.
Okay. So at the end of the day, your solution is we're guaranteed of the Turkel appointment.
I think either way, that's yours. I don't see how we would ever have that one.
Well, here's what we'll say. In our abundance of wanting to be fair and honoring your records, we will be satisfied with that one appointment because it's a vacancy. If you all amend the records and that results in us having two, then we'll fill two slots. What we can't do is say to you that we can agree to, in a sense, abandon our appointment and allow them to be used for somebody. That's another discussion that I can't just sit here and agree that the executive would agree to put a person on that he didn't select. So I can't go that far. So however you all choose to proceed, we'll leave here today knowing that we're responsible for the Turkel appointment. And then if you all make some corrections, then we'll fill the other one. If you all decide to leave things as is, according to the record as it exists, then you're not going to get any argument from us about you filling two slots.
Thank you.
So that's your call.
Thank you. Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Thank you. From my perspective, I think it was very clear that Chris was a council appointment. I think that for the simplest matter to be would be to just correct the wording in the resolution. If we start with, well, even though this on the record says it's an executive, council really gets to do it. Once somebody like the paper gets a hold of that, it's so convoluted, it's such a mess that somebody's going to read something into it as to why did they have to go through that when the simple appoint. And in the end, if we like Chris, if he turns out to now be the executive appointment and we would like to keep him then on the commission, we have no say over that. So my belief is that it was an error. I didn't catch it. Legal didn't catch it. Nellie didn't catch it. Obviously, you know, we just all assumed that it was our appointment and this is the resolution and we ran it. So from my perspective, since it was my appointment, I would say we go with correcting the resolution. We then have one appointment, the executive office has, or the exec's office then gets the two appointments.
Right.
Yeah. And we eventually will have another appointment.
Councilmember Weiner.
Thanks.
Councilmember
I really think that the news journal can have its opportunity to dance on our heads no matter what we do, and they could just as easily take the reverse and say, it's, it looks like council doesn't know what it's doing. I think it's a clear path to follow the recommendation of our ethics legal counsel. We've heard from the administration that they have no problem with us doing that, in which case we have both a reappointment and an appointment of both Mr. Gonzalez and Mr. Schnee.
Thank you, Councilmember Wiley. Therefore, is there a...
I make a motion. Yes, I make a motion that we adopt the Ethics Commission legal counsel's position, which will permit us to reappoint sitting member Gonzalez and also permit us to make a new appointment.
Is there a second? Say it now. There's a motion on the floor. Mr. Guy?
Yes, could you include in that the slot that you're filling, just to make it, the record complete?
Seeing that there's not a second, therefore, we will go back to the original intent of my discussion around Mr. Simon. That was his name.
Correct, yes.
The subcommittee chair, Diller, and Councilmember Smiley, I believe appropriately framed corrective action relative to the mistake in the original resolution. So that's what we need to act on at this point. So is there a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I have another motion to make.
Yes.
We have two names.
Councilmember Wiley, you have another motion.
Yes. There are two names before us for ethics position. I think that we've been well served by Mr. Gonzalez. We now have one appointee. I make a motion that we appoint Carl Schnee for the opening.
Is there a second?
Question of point of order.
Yes.
Doesn't this go to the executive committee meeting for an appointment, not in the subcommittee?
I believe the rule is it does go to executive
committee. Right.
But we have a recommendation we can make.
This is a recommendation to the executive committee.
Just a recommendation to the...
Can I comment on that?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, of course, you know, Carl Schnee is well known and a person of, you know, great merit. And I have no real objection to, you know, appointing him. I just want to make sure we follow the legal path of going to executive committee for appointing folks.
Right.
It's just merely a subcommittee here.
I think the goal was to sort of motion to recommend that these people be interviewed, if that's what you want. Then we'll interview them during executive. But I think for right now, we wanted motion one way or the other on these resumes as to whether we should even bring them to the executive committee.
So my motion then is correct to say, make a motion that we present the resume of Carl Schnee to the executive committee.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So this is for...
Councilmember Holloway.
I said no.
No.
Okay. I said no.
No. No. No. So we have four no's with the motion.
I guess.
Yes. It's four no's on that recommendation of Carl Schnee.
I guess I have a procedural question, and I could be totally out there. The subcommittees that council has formed during my brief time here, we as a council have never discussed, to the best of my knowledge, the lengths to which this subcommittee is going to deal. And that subcommittee is formed, I've attended quite a few on aging or whatever. They've discussed issues, people in the room, they've discussed path forward. But I don't, because as a subcommittee, council members don't feel that they need, some council members, I guess, don't feel they need to be there, okay? Because you're not going to vote on things that would affect all of council. To vote, and I don't know if this is where you're going because only one name was mentioned, to vote whether one person's resume and another's should not come before all of council, I think is going to that extent. And I'm just not sure that that's what the subcommittee we're supposed to be doing. You know what I'm saying? If the motion, I envision the motion, if, you know, those people that have submitted resumes, if the members have looked at them, unless someone has an overwhelming reason why someone should be eliminated, then all of council should interview everyone that's applied and they'll go accordingly. I may be wrong. This subcommittee meeting is going different than any other that I've ever sat in on. So that's why I'm a little concerned about the process, I guess.
Right.
I want to make sure it's right. You know, I don't want someone from the public that's willing to serve for something get caught up in something.
It's my understanding that the resumes before us will be recommended to the executive committee next week. Council Member Hollins may have institutional knowledge around this.
Well, on the point that's been made by Councilman Cartier as well as Councilman Smalley, I would agree that at some point it was a discussion that any action would go through a committee or a subcommittee and voted before. And council denied that. Council did not approve of a committee approving or making a recommendation. And the subcommittee is essentially, the subcommittee is not the same as a committee where all council members are committees of all of the committees. All of council members, as Councilman Smiley pointed out, are not in attendance at subcommittees. So if you allow subcommittees to make recommendations, then you're essentially creating what council said we did not want to create. It's what they have in the Delaware General Assembly, where you get the approval through a committee with maybe 7 or 8 members, and then they make a suggestion to the body, which makes it challenging to the body when the body is not participating in the original meeting. So I think the executive meeting, somehow that would undermine the responsibility and duty and action of the executive committee. It would be the same for any other committee. If we had a committee of finance, a subcommittee of finance making a recommendation to the finance committee, or a subcommittee of the housing committee making recommendations, to me that sort of muddies the waters, and it's not exactly the direction that council wanted to go into when President Clark wanted to have committees operating that fashion, that then you would make the committee would make a recommendation to the body, and the committee could be 7 members of council. Then it's, you know, what is passed by the committee is a simple majority. You end up with maybe, if 7 people are on a subcommittee or 6, then 4 people making the recommendation to the body, then the body ends up being all 13 of us. I just think that it goes against what we have already established. It doesn't mean we can't establish new procedures, but I just see the danger in that when all council members are not present or don't feel duty bound to be present because it's a subcommittee.
So,
and I have no issue with Mr. Snay at all. I know him very well. He's a very fine gentleman.
Yeah.
Or I could say any other names I've heard, but my issue is more procedural.
Right.
That if council comes here whenever the executive committee meets and says, well, okay, this is our recommendation to you, then all hell breaks loose.
Councilmember Wyden?
Yes. In my almost 18 years, this would be precedent setting. And I concur with Councilman Smiley and President Pro Tem that this was not part of the specific language in setting up this subcommittee if you go back and listen to the transcript. So I think we're simply vetting them. We don't have authority from this body to set a precedent that which would preclude any names going forward to the Ethics Committee. The principle of this body is that all of us are equal. We don't want to replicate what the state legislature has done.
So these names will go forward next week, and each candidate will come in for an interview.
Yes.
And then the executive committee will act accordingly.
Yes.
That's been the practice heretofore. And we will. What I'm hearing, that we will continue with that practice is what I'm hearing.
I just have a question.
Councilmember Diller.
What does that do to Mr. Simon then?
Well,
he stays.
Till the end of his term.
Till the end of his term.
Because it was a clerical error.
Okay.
It's not a reappointment.
I don't want him to get caught in this.
Right.
Council member moves whatever needs to be.
Right.
So I just put in a clarification resolution
Okay.
And he, and make it clear in there that he stays, and that's just, you know, a wording correction, that his term ends in 14 as it would have before.
Right.
Councilmember Smiley.
And the only thing I wanted to clarify for me, and I think we're all, everybody's on the same page now, is that because of confusion, and we've been going through this periodically in my 9 years, of vacancies and appointments, the purpose of the subcommittee was to bring clarity to all of council that it's been vetted, here are the vacancies, here are the appointments, that, you know, here's the criteria, and hopefully keep our listing updated as to who's in and what their terms were. That was my understanding.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Wyman.
Yes. I would like to know which council member suggested Stephanie Avenger. Would be a question to your aide, I suppose.
Me.
To you, okay. And which council member suggested Scott Saunders for diversity?
Me.
Okay. Thank you.
Welcome. Any other comments or questions?
I have you on.
No, I just want to know. That's all.
I don't have no problem. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Guy, we're going to move on.
I guess for clarification purposes, it's your intention to take corrective action with Christopher Simon.
Correct.
For him to be county council with executive consent.
Correct.
And then the Turkell slot, executive officer fill that. The Gonzalez slot, you guys will take care of the Gonzalez slot. And the vacancy, the executive office will take care of the vacancy.
Right.
And the timetable for that resolution, are you all creating the corrective resolution?
Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Are we creating it?
Yeah.
I would presume.
Yeah, we're going.
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure
yes.
you knew whether we were involved in the draft or not. Because we usually send over a draft.
Well, since this is our appointment, we'll take care of the resolution.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for Attorney Guy for your input.
Mr. President,
yes.
I'm going to have to excuse myself.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to go over to the bar's recognition. Tanisha is going to get the award formally today.
Okay.
So I plan to attend that. So I'm going to have to excuse myself.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Anything on the other? Public comment? Yes. Councilmember?
It's an issue that it's a board and commission issue, and I just wanted to kind of bring some a small spotlight on it. County government created the Design Review Advisory Committees,
mm-hmm.
Of which I think we have three operating in Newcastle County. We have Centerville, Claymont,
Hocassin.
I don't know if
St. George,
North St. George is actually.
Yeah, I think they're not. Last I heard, they were not operating. That they were looking at redoing them, but they were not operating.
And it's my understanding that the appointments are all executive with consent of council.
Yeah.
And I think that's some that needs a little balance to it, in the sense that, you know, these are very much aligned with the district council person's interests. And, you know, not that I have any big issues, it's just it would seem, you know, that this is constituted a little unbalanced.
How do you suggest we proceed?
I would ask for comments about that. I'm sure it's in county code and we can adjust that.
Right, okay.
And to bring a little more balance to it.
Councilmember.
I may be wrong, but I think that the council person has to send it over, the nomination name over to the county executive.
Right.
Because I've actually had one that I've turned down. So they wanted to go over, they didn't, but they could not circumvent me to go through the county executive. Now, somebody may want to check on that, but that was my understanding.
Yeah, I don't know the legal perspective on that.
Councilmember Wyman.
Yeah, I don't think that's correct.
No.
They can just go to the county executive and
yes.
say, I want to be appointed?
Yes.
No, it says,
what's the code?
The district council persons in whose councilmanic district or hometown overlay is found shall make recommendations to the county executive who shall appoint members to the county
okay.
council consent.
Yeah, so shall make. In practice, that hasn't occurred. In other words, shall make recommendations doesn't mean the county executive is limited by those recommendations the way that it's actually been interpreted. Maybe needs clarification, but in practice, it hasn't been followed that way.
Councilman Kirkpatrick, a follow-up.
Well, in Centerville, has anybody ever gone on to DRAC without your recommendation, without your nomination?
I have made recommendation that the acting chairman of the Centerville DRAC be appointed, and no action's been taken.
But you made the request. He couldn't, the county executive on his own couldn't say, oh, that's the person I want?
It just hasn't been acted upon. And I realize he's busy doing other things, but just hasn't been acted upon.
Councilman Cardi.
In the name of balance of the separate branches, I think that issue for me is vitally important, and for other council members to kind of bring a little better balance.
Yeah.
You know, these bodies in the previous administration were suffering from a neglect. Mm-hmm. And it's a serious matter because, you know, they are given quasi home rule. They have permission to grant parking variances and some other limited decision making powers, you know, which have impact on land use applicants. So it's always important. I always want to try to make sure that we're supporting these boards properly and that we have some balance in terms of their appointment powers. Because right now we don't have balance. And I would just like to say the administration fortunately has corrected the neglect issue. And I think, you know, I feel good about that. But we need to do much more work in terms of legal education and having a better balance of appointments.
Thank you for bringing it to our attention. Councilmember Redder has joined us at the table. Councilmember Kirkpatrick and Weiner.
So if we went to change the law, we would ask for certain appointments by the council without executive approval, that they would not have to go through the entire process, so they can't sit on somebody's desk? Is that what we're looking at?
I would like to have the district council person be able to push it and nominate people to go to council as a council appointment to the body of the DRAC, and then the executive would have, you know, a portion of that as well.
But for our appointments, they would be without executive approval?
Well, whatever the typical was, yeah, executive consent,
Well, because I'm going back.
We can work out the details.
Right, but I'm going back to Bob's, that if he actually recommended somebody and it's been sitting, then it does no good if you have to wait for the executive to send it over, then it really does no good to have his consent.
Councilmember Wyatt.
Thank you. I don't want to attribute any malevolence to the county executive. He has many other priorities. To me, the Centerville DRAC is very important because I just have a small district of the county. I think we can achieve some balance. First of all, I think the chair should always be serve at the pleasure of the county executive. That's pretty much standard procedure. But just using that as an example, it could have been simply filling a slot. I think we could go back, and I think the county executive would agree that that the nominations be shared with this legislative body and the executive body, whether it's 4-3 or 3-4, you know, it doesn't really matter. But again, we have to remember that half have to be business, half to have to be civic. The other thing that we'll never be able to change is that when County Executive Tom Gordon was here, he believed in the concept of the DRAC. I helped write the legislation with him at the time, and it didn't have the support of two subsequent county executives, so they slowly weaned the DRACs off of getting assistance from the Land Use Department. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a concern going on into the future. I don't think we can legally tie the hand of a future county executive as to how he administers his people. We can try, but legislatively it'd be difficult for us to do that. So, you know, maybe the balance would be, there are 7 members on the board or 9? You can go up to 9.
9.
John, is your preference that 4 or 5 be legislatively initiated, or do you have a preference?
I don't think so.
Just as long as there's a better balance, 4 or 5,
it doesn't really matter to me either.
The issue's balance.
Balance.
But by law, not every one of them is 9.
Yeah. It's between 5 and 9.
They get to choose on their own how many they want.
I believe Claymont has 9.
Claymont has 9.
But they're always an odd number.
Centerville doesn't, they have like five.
They have five. So if you legislate it so that the county executive gets the odd member, and the council member gets to appoint the remainder minority, that gives you some legislative balance. I don't really care whether it's the other way or not, but I'm seeing from nodding heads that seems to be okay. That gives us some counterbalance. I'm going to continue to urge the county executive. I know he's got other priorities, but we've got, it's not fair to the chairman who served under Janet as well. He's been acting chair for years. He's a very eminently qualified attorney, a member of the business community in Centerville. He lives there too. I think, you know, the county executive take action. I'll take it on myself to again urge him to do so.
Councilman McCarty.
All good discussion concerning Drax. The other point about maybe trying to provide a legal standard for support to the Drax, because we went through a period where they were neglected, mm-hmm. and you're setting citizens out there who have legal decision-making power in a limited way over applicants, and you're kind of, we went through a period where they had no real support at all. Kind of, you know, this isn't an ideal circumstance by any means. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know if there, it's possible for us to legislate some kind of standard of support for the Drax. I don't know what goes on with other boards and commissions, mm-hmm. but, you know, usually they have an attorney. Usually they have other staffing associated with, certainly their duties are more onerous, like the Board of Adjustment. But it's an issue that we got to, I think, look at.
Well, maybe we should put it on the legislative agenda for 2014.
Yeah.
With your leadership.
For which committee?
2014. Legislative agenda for,
yes,
2014.
Right. Good idea.
The details. Mm-hmm. Yes, finally.
Just want to say, just for the record, that the DRAC legislation makes the DRACs like a planning board. They have advisory authority, as opposed to legislative authority. It's just a technical difference, but it's important to state for the record. And secondly, when John brought up the fact that legal counsel for boards can be mandated, a bell went off in my head, recognizing that we do have the legislative authority to create legislation which compels a member of the land use department to staff it. And shame on us if we don't use our legislative authority to do that. And we could even legislate an attorney to do that as well. But we do have the legislative authority to do that, and it's done all over the country.
Councilmember Redding, Councilmember Cartier.
Yes.
Thank you. Sorry I'm late. I was in a land use meeting. And some things that are coming up. Did I hear, I don't know if I heard Councilwoman Kilpatrick or Councilman Weiner said something about things being left over and not coming back for appointment. Well, I gave Jim one, and he turned it over to where he was supposed to, and that was 2 or 3 years ago, a name for the ethics. And I gave him another name for another board, and they were about two of them, wasn't it, Jim? It was
Betty Toole.
Betty Toole was one. That was almost 3 years ago, wasn't it?
No, about 3 years.
You gave it to the administration, or?
I gave one to Jim. He gets a copy, and then the administration gets one. And I kept a copy. And that was for, their background and all. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. 3 years ago. And we had two vacancies at the time?
Three. Well, Jim Baugh, Policy Director.
Policy Director. In the past, the tradition was what we'll call the tradition was, is that we would get together with a group of people over on the other side, go over the various resumes and make recommendations. And if that particular person, let's say, was the Historical Review Board, and we do not have appointment authority in the Historical Review Board, we would make those recommendations. So essentially, all we can do is make a recommendation, okay, and suggest these individuals. What we've done, for instance, for this in Anthony and I briefly talked was during the last couple months when we've had this particular committee, we've made recommendations of people. I believe one was Mr. Critchison to the Historical Review Board, which was Mr. Tackett's. We've heard nothing, okay? Any recommendations we have made in the last couple months from this board, we haven't heard anything. But they're not obligated to come back to us either. By law.
For state or county law?
We've made recommendations to their appointments. So they can either listen or not listen.
Councilmember Kilpatrick, thank you.
But if somebody was going to try to change that and try to put, let's say, a sunset on it, to say if we send over a recommendation, it has to be acted on within a certain number of days or it sunsets. So they don't, I mean, sometimes I think they just don't want to say, no, I don't like this person, so they just never do anything. But then we would at least, if we had the ability to do this, we would at least, even if it's through MOU, at least we would then know, okay, it went 30 days or 60 days or whatever it is, get in here, so we know it's dead. They don't have to say, no, I don't like him. It would just die as it is. I mean, maybe there's just some procedure that we can come up with if it's not actually part of the law. Maybe we can come up with some procedure so that everybody understands, okay, you know, we don't wait for 3 years to see if they're going to send it back, or 6 months, or a year, or whatever it is, you know, that there's a definitive timeline here.
And as we suggested, and it can't be implemented, that, you know, for instance, let's say we make a recommendation to the county executive that this person go to the Historical Review Board and insert in the current law. Now, it depends on, I think that has to be interpreted too, somewhere in state law, somewhere in county law. But we can, let's say the Historical Review Board is in state law, maybe a little bit more difficult. But if within 60 days, they have to come back to us and have a record.
Sorry about that.
Yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
So are we clear that is the law?
I will make double sure, but from my understanding, working boards and commissions we're working on 20 years now, okay? We can only just make a recommendation. For instance, now, in this particular case, in the Drax, there is a recommendation, and Councilman Weiner was correct. We can make a recommendation. Now, I don't know about this administration, we haven't gotten there yet, but in the previous two administrations, we would make the recommendations, and normally, those particular ones, the county executive would pay attention and say, look, you know, it's your district, we're going to help you out. Right? But that's more unofficial than official. That was just a recommendation, and they can abide by the recommendation or not abide by the recommendation. Can you change that? Yes, you can.
Councilmember Retta.
Thank you. You know, I agree with you on a timeline, but I think 60 days is too long because some of these boards and commissions have been vacant, a couple of vacancies for a long time, number of months, and you know, and I think 30 days is plenty of time to get back and say yes or no on that person. If they can't do it within 30 days, then they're not going to do it within 60 days.
Well, I would see Councilman Warren, I would like to see some energy from us and movement toward a courtesy and or MOU around this, because it sounds like there's some history here. Just let us know up or down, as opposed to just let it
go
into utopia. Is not that may be an overstatement, but I want to make the point.
No, you're right. I agree with you. I think we should have a timeline on it, and I think it should be come back to us and say yes or no, and we can move forward and look for somebody else.
Okay. Councilmember Bob and Councilmember Joel.
Thank you. I really like this process that we have now. It corrects a concern that all of us had, that names were simply popping up from nowhere. You know, people had access to the county executive, some people didn't. Names came out of nowhere, and there wasn't a really public understanding. Today, we put on the record who presented which names. As you know, as far as Carl Schnee, I already put that on the record. And you just put on the record that the other two were yours. This is providing open government to anyone that knows where these names came from. I think it addresses a concern that we had, and we started a new slate with this. So, you know, I'm very pleased with this, and I would urge Councilman Moretta, Joe, to follow the process, get these folks on the name. You know, that way we all know before it gets vetted here, before it goes to the executive committee, we all know that these were your names. We also get a chance to know that not one council person is hogging all the nominees, if you will. Or if we, you know, we do have competing names, we know, you know, who they are. We can discuss them equally together. We have a deadline when we have to bring these names forward. So I really think it's a good process. One other thing I want to say for the record, and this is just me, but I just want you to know that we have, in state law, the names of two of our boards. They are Historic Review Board, not Historical Review Board, and they are Board of Adjustment, not Board of Adjustments. Just wanted to say that, because we're speaking to the record.
Thank you, Councilmember Smiley.
Yeah, sitting on the purple and listening, I would just make one small recommendation. Try to move forward and not create another adversarial situation. Is if we're going to make a proposal that if a council member submits a recommendation to the executive office for a board or commission appointment, that if they don't respond within 30, 60 days, whatever is decided, then said recommendation shall be considered expired. If that's going to be drafted in some way, then it needs to be reciprocal. Just to be fair, if we're going to put it out, we should put it out both ways. If the county executive office, if there's an opening in for the 7th district or whatever, and they send something to council, then we should bear the same. I'm just saying, if we're going to put something there and try to do it, let's make it both ways. Let's be fair when we ask. Here's what we'd like you to comply with, and we're willing to comply as well. I think that's what we need to do. I just pour that out there.
Good suggestion. Councilmember Redd and Councilmember Wyatt.
Thank you. I agree with you, George, on that. The other is, did we discuss before I came in here anything about if the executive side hasn't made a decision on a name or a person, can we take it over? Has anything been discussed on that?
No, we didn't talk about that today. I don't recall.
No.
Who else talking about? I don't know if that's cold.
I mean, I'm not just saying because we've got a new administration. I'm just saying in the past, I mean, we've had a number of vacancies that were supposed to be done by the executive side and never was done. And we're just sitting here without people on the boards. So I was just wondering if anything could be discussed in that aspect with the executive side.
That's what this recommendation process, I think, would cover.
Well, I mean, if they don't do it, can we do it?
I don't think you can hire.
Councilmember Weiner, then.
Jenny, the reason why I say that.
Thanks. This open and transparent process also addresses another issue. I had come up with a Republican appointment. It sat for 6-9 months, and I finally found out that another council person had appointed a Republican appointment, but that person couldn't make up her mind. Turned out that she had some issues with the Attorney General's office, and she just was never going to get back to us to tell us one way or the other. Okay. So, yes, it had nothing to do with no aspersions being casted. But this open, transparent process addresses that issue. And, you know, I think because of the board's, you know, 30 or 60 days is fine. I'd rather see 30 days because I think we need some finality. The public deserves to get some, you know, movement forward on filling these positions. So that would be my thought on that process.
Co-Chair Diller, should we talk about, I mean, this seems like a lot of energy around this. Should we ask policy director and maybe Carol to draft something for the council on this issue? What's your feeling on it?
I think if it's the will of people that we have a, you know, we put a deadline in place, that's fine with me. I mean, I think the issue is you can make a rule, but Whether people follow it or not is another question. I mean, I think the issue really is that this is one of those duties that unless you talk about it on a regular basis, which is why I pushed the subcommittee to be reformed, you know, it's easy to let this stuff go. And so I think anything, you know, I mean, I have no problems with, you know, with somebody drafting this, but I think the reality is unless these meetings take place like every other month, you know, it's very easy to let this part of the job just sit there, you know. And I think that's true on the executive side. I mean, people have things to do. We've got things to do. I mean, it's just, that's why you make a commitment to a regular meeting. So I've got no problem with drafting it, but it really has to do with scheduling regular meetings and talking about this stuff. And Anthony, thank you for the updates. You know, this is the most helpful thing between getting the chart and then the listing. That's what helps people move this stuff forward, because then it's in the front of their brain.
Well, I would hope I'm committed, you as co-chair, to having these meetings.
Every other month.
Every other month. If we could have the support from the council, these kind of things I think would be helpful. So we can ask Mr. Boyle and Janet to put something up for us.
Carol.
Around deadlines and so forth.
Promotions to
Mr. Cartier, yeah. And then Attorney Guy, then we'll close the meeting.
I think having these meetings and addressing the boards and commissions and the subcommittee is a good idea, and I support it, and I'll attend as many of these as I can, which will be most of them. But I think to go to Councilman Redd's concern, you know, where we have a process and we work it and we suggest names, you know, it's not fair to the body that names sit over there and rot and not, we don't get a response. That's all. I think, you know, if we can close that loop, that would help everybody concerned, both the executive and the council, you know, keep these boards and commissions staffed, make progress with them, get good, decent appointees, because it's not fair to the nominee.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to go, hey, I put my name in, what's going on? And the council members on the spot are going to say, well, I haven't heard a response.
Right.
So I think, you know, trying to close down that too much, you know, time where things can't be acted on, and point well taken, people don't have to follow rules, but at least you have something we can point to, right, and say, you know, I'm do a response, with all due respect. So,
Attorney Guy, Executive Office.
Yes, Samuel Guy, Executive Office. I want to get a couple of issues on the table so that when you have this discussion, they're not lost. The legislative branch and the executive branch have vacancies that they're responsible to fill, in all fairness. Because if somebody's listening to this tape, it's as if the executive branch has vacancies that aren't being filled, and that's the only thing they're understanding. So everybody has that, is part of the team in filling these. And most of them involve consent. And so I understood the conversation about the DRACs, because they actually include more involvement across the branches than most of the other ones. So your solution really needs to be specific to that particular board or commission. I don't think that you all have voted on a person and sent it over for consent and didn't get an answer back for consent once you voted. And likewise, when we recommend a person and ask for your consent, there hasn't been a delay. So the consent process isn't what the problem is after there's a decision by the appropriate body. So I just wanted to make that distinction, but it should be specific to each entity if you're trying to make adjustments.
It's very helpful. Thank you, Mr. Guy. Right. Anything else?
Well, just real quick, I just want to follow up for clarity's sake. Let's be sure we understand. When you look at the boards and commissions in their entirety, and council discussed this before, the executive branch has 115 appointments. Council has 48.
so we can clearly see where the bulk of the burden is, and I think that's why, and I apologize, I had to leave the room for a minute, that the bulk of the discussion revolved around executive appointments, understanding council has a responsibility, but overwhelmingly, the amount of appointments lie out of the executive branch. That's all. I know I had that somewhere.
I just wanted some clarity on these resumes. Do you want me to schedule all of these for an interview before the executive committee? Is that your intent?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, we will have two people competing for the same spot.
That's the way it's supposed to work.
And then you'll
go for my seat.
Mm-hmm. We'll have to vote, yeah.
During the executive committee?
Yeah.
Okay. So going forward, when I get a resume, should I just schedule it for the executive committee? Not bring it here first?
Schedule here first, yeah. For vetting.
It should be looked at first.
Yes.
But then it could be 2 months off.
Right.
Yeah.
It could
if
be.
If he got one at the end of this week and you didn't reconvene for 2 months,
right.
Two
but
months.
The nice
he's
thing about,
holding it for 2 months.
The nice thing about this is this solves all of the openness and transparency issues that we had identified before. It's all out on the table. Everyone's cards are out on the table. So we're not dealing with these preliminary issues before we get to executive.
But you're not making any recommendations. What Councilman Hollins was saying, we're not recommending anything.
Right.
We're just looking at them during this committee.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We may not even know there's somebody else. And, you know, maybe one member might decide not to proceed forward. But we don't even know. We can sort all that now out at the boards and commissions meeting. Everyone has a fair shot.
If we have the meetings every other month and a resume comes in, we can have it sent to us and then look at it, and then when the meeting comes up,
Before you came, we kind of decided that
okay,
all the resumes would come here, we'd vet them and then recommend them to the executive committee for action.
Yeah.
Right. Move forward.
Yeah.
Policy director.
Number one, there was one concern that was brought up. There are some time limits, for instance, Mr. Gonzalez. Okay, Mr. Gonzalez is about 3 or 4 months into his expiration, which is a total of 6 months.
Right.
If you take 2 months, he's off the board.
Right.
Now, currently at this point in time, he is either the chair or going to be the chair. That particular board elects their own chair. Okay. And just for the point of that, Mr. Gonzalez was, I remember, brought up by the council member sponsored it. That was a recommendation from the Latin American Community Center. That's where
that went to Paul Clark, and then
Paul
asked Jay Sweet to recommend it.
That was a recommendation from Rio Montos, from the executive director of. But just in case, some of them, there are limitations where you cannot take a long time because. One thing I want to address, and if I misinterpret this, Councilman Redder, I think what he was trying to, if I misinterpret this, I apologize. I thought what was being said was, if the county executive does not, if they have vacancies and they do not act on them, can we act on them?
Right.
We cannot. Okay.
And well, that's what I was asking, if we can have that changed.
Either way, you have a, you know.
Then they could act on.
No comment.
That's a bad.
Yeah, I would say no comment. No comment's a good. You know, that would be my answer
comment.
At this point.
No comment.
And the only thing I want to address, my further, so we're all on the same page, because there was an issue once, and I think we got it cleared up. That an appointment was mine that wasn't mine, and that is that we now have all this on our website. I have had people contact me. I don't go to the website. So we can have people go to the website, look and see what vacancies are there, and they can submit their resume without a sponsor.
Yes.
So it's clear. I mean, that's what they can do. Yeah, it's beneficial naturally to have someone, but it doesn't mean someone's solicited. So all I'm saying is, going forward, we want to take a look at when someone submits their resume, we're asking them, are you being sponsored by a council member? In other words, how did you come to send us the resume, and make that part of the package?
I concur.
Suggestion. I don't think we need anything formal on that.
Right.
I just think it's something
to good practice.
I would just say, in fairness to the question that Joe asked, you know, we can't take that appointment from somebody.
No, I understand.
But we certainly can hold the resume for when council gets an appointment and then bring it forward, bring that person forward.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Because that's exactly how Rich Killingsworth got on. I got his resume, we didn't have the appointment, I sent it over to the administration, they went ahead and interviewed him, you know, but I could see it working the other way, that if they don't have appointments or they decide on somebody else, we can bring that resume back up again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. President?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. May I speak?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Likewise,
Carl Schnee is now retired. He's of counsel with his firm. And he's looking for the next challenge. So if this body decides to go with Gonzalez rather than Schnee, we at least have Schnee's resume on file for when in 3 months we have an opening, he'll be one of the ones considered.
Exactly.
Yeah. I just want to say, when we discussed and we pushed to get it on the website, if you go back and listen, part of that discussion was that we would then have the ability to archive and build an inventory of resumes for people, and so that we would have them. So if we had a vacancy, we weren't spending 4 or 5 months looking for someone. And that falls right in there. We just need to keep that current. And sometimes you look at it and you say, you know what? Guess what? The one you applied for 2 months ago that we filled, we don't have an opening here, but we got a vacancy over here. It looks like you'll be a fit. But we need to build an inventory.
And I just want to add that, if I may.
I promise I won't say
that.
Councilmember Weiner and Councilmember Day.
Thank you. That openness and transparency is really well served by this in another way as well. And that is that there's no hidden agendas as to the perception, a conflict of interest that someone's made a deal behind the closed doors, that this board member will be their vote. I mean, we can never do away with that altogether, but by getting this information on the table to be vetted here, we remove some of that, and that serves the public well.
I was just going to ask, just for a point of order, Anthony, I think the website had been set up so that, you know, Chris and Dwyer, who handled that in the old days from the executive side, had access to it. And then Lynn Pfeiffer, who was at that point Paul Clark's executive assistant, had access to it. Do you have access to that?
No, not right now.
Okay, because that was the deal, is that both sides got access and could pull things off. No? I thought Lynn was able to pull stuff off.
Only Kristen Dwyer had access. We never had access. Okay.
All right. I thought the deal was both sides were.
In order to
Jim Boyle. Mr. President.
In order to process that, the way our web works is I have access to certain pages being counseled.
Okay.
That particular web area was in the county executive area, okay, which would, if they gave me access to that, they would have to give me total access to the whole program.
They were
never going to give that to me.
I thought we had access to it. Sorry about that.
Attorney Guy.
My mistake.
Samuel Guy, executive office. I came here and gave a presentation a while back on boards and commissions, but if you recall, it was a rushed presentation. So you all got the rush version. But part of that presentation was informing you that every person who works for Newcastle County can go to the portal. And then you can go over and it'll get you to the boards and commissions listing. And you can actually click on it, at least that was the feature that was set up, where anytime that page changed, you could get update alerts that there's been a change on that page. You could also download an Excel file with all of the information, that's expansive data set on that appointment slot. And that was one of the announcements that day, so that I believe in people being independent. You shouldn't have to ask us every day what's the status when there's a place where we're trying to maintain its accuracy. And so if something's not correct there, then we want to fix it, because the whole purpose of that was so that you could have alerts, be notified if somebody resigned and their name was taken off, you'd get an alert. So hopefully that's still working. It was working the last time that I checked. So test it and let us know.
Thank you. One more comment.
Yes, on this comment
Thank
here.
You,
in this democracy, in this openness of government, no one should have first access to that information, whether it's Sam or whether it's Jim or Anthony or anybody else. We need to take this information and make sure that every one of us gets that information equally at the same time. It needs to be posted on the websites. Sam can talk to you about that afterwards. I'm sure our IT people, IS people can do that. And the reason is, sometimes it's a race. Someone, before we had this committee, it was a race to who gets first before council, because then we don't want to embarrass the person because their name's already before us. So this provides another check and balance. Not only do we have this boards and commissions to vet, but we also make sure that we all have equal time, because until I got the notice about the meeting, I didn't realize that I had a deadline to go talk to Carl Schnee. I'd just been thinking about it. That's why, you know, we need to have equal access to that database. And Sam, if could you talk to our IT people about making sure that it's posted electronically so that each member of the legislative body and their staff has equal access to it, as well as the legislative and our staff?
Well, that was the purpose of the alerts feature, so that if anything changed, and guess what I would like you to do is to test it, to go to the portal, go to that page, and see if you can access that data, because that's why all of this time we were of the belief that you were using it.
Yeah.
Because nobody's ever
asked. I'm not getting the information the same time Jim Boyle is, for example.
Well, I think the issue is, it's on the website. It's
you
on the county executive's website. It's on the portal. It's on the portal. Anybody can act. Anybody internally can access the portal. Anybody can access the county executive's
okay,
website.
That's not the issue.
The issue was, can I edit it? Okay. Oh. No, I cannot.
Now, that's not the issue. The issue is, can I get that information? Can council members get that information sent to us on a regular basis, whether it's weekly or monthly, whatever? Because we get 200 emails a day. You know, we got too many things to do. It needs to be smack in our face with us getting an email on a weekly, on a Friday, like we do get the contracts. Let's, Jim, have you send every member of council and staff what the status of the boards are on Fridays, so we all have that information equally available.
All I right, can do this, that.
Under the new system, Mr.
Hall, or Anthony.
Anthony.
Yeah.
Anthony would do that.
Okay.
Enough discussion on this, y'all. Okay. Anything else? I think we've had a great discussion. Council Member Dillon, Sub-Chair, you have anything?
I'm good.
Public.
Motion adjourned.
Second.
Second.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Lisa.